The foundation for discipleship and for sharing the gospel starts with sharing the gospel to ourselves. And sharing the gospel to ourselves starts with acknowledging that it's easy to forget. Well, welcome everybody. Great to spend some time together. So for those of you that we don't know, my name is Mike Grimm. My wife Amber's here. And so this is like coming back home for us. Goodfield and Morton was life for 37 years. And we're in San Diego, California now. And love it there and love God's calling that he has given us to small church support and just the way he navigates and changes directions from time to time. So I'm full-time with Harvest Call, USA Country Director, and love working on a regular basis constantly with Arlen and Matt and the whole crew in on the church outreach side of ACCFS. And so when we think of dwelling in God, and we think of the concept of speaking the gospel to ourselves, there's a couple things that I'd just like to start off with. And one is just the foundation of what it really means to engage in discipleship and evangelism. And you can't separate the two. Matt touched on this morning kind of the process of becoming a disciple, growing as a disciple, growing together as disciples in community, proclaiming the gospel to make disciples and teaching disciples. And then we see this concept of sharing the gospel to other people as part of this. And so you can't separate the two. Evangelism exists inside of discipleship and is a critical piece of that. And so when we think about what the gospel message is, Matt said this morning, everything starts with the foundation of the resurrection. And so what we're talking about here in discipleship starts with the gospel message. As we're learning to grow in Christ, as we're growing together in Christ, as we're reaching the lost, it starts with a foundational understanding of what the gospel even is. And so I got a few definitions here that we'll go through quick, just to lay the stage. This is Harvest Call's working definition for the gospel. It's the good news of how fallen mankind can be reconciled or brought back to God by grace through faith in the redemptive work of his son Jesus, and transformed in heart and mind by the power of his Spirit. Second one is from the Sharing the Gospel Bible study. Use the word gospel and break it down into this acronym. We have God's holiness and understanding who he is. For us to really reach others with the gospel starts with us understanding a holy God that's without flaw, without sin. And then understanding our brokenness, and that on our own, we are wretched and rebellious and sinful and lost. And then understanding that great chasm is only bridged by Christ's sacrifice. And then understanding that our profession of faith equals life and brings us back into that reconciled relationship with God. Sharing the gospel starts with knowing it. Discipleship starts with knowing the gospel. And you could say the good news of Jesus Christ would be a third definition, just to sum up what the gospel message is. So here's a couple slides. And I don't want you to, I'm not going to ask questions to come back and forth, but I'd like you just to think first reactions on these next few slides. Where do you see the gospel here? And who knows the gospel? Where do we see the gospel? And who knows the gospel? Where do we see the gospel? who knows the gospel. Is there a way to see the gospel in all of these photos? All right. Who in this photo knows the gospel? Obviously, it's the super smart guy that's been taught his whole life scripture, that understands everything. He even has scripture in his head, on his head, in a little box called a phylactery. And so, because he's immersed himself in scripture, and because he has been well-learned, obviously he understands, right? And this guy, his background is being in charge of collecting tax money in a region, a county, you could say, called Galilee. And maybe he was charged for collecting $1 million for Rome. And if he would collect $1.5 million and he could keep $500,000, give $1 million to Rome, and he could get rich. And he's just, I mean, nobody likes him. He doesn't know anything. He's just greedy and he doesn't understand anything. I'm going to read the parable of the Pharisee and the publican. Oops, sorry. Christ told this parable. Two men went to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee took his stand and was praying like this. God, I thank you that I am not like other people. Greedy, unrighteous, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of everything I get. But the tax collector, standing afar off, would not even raise his eyes to heaven, but kept striking his chest and saying, God, turn your wrath from me, a sinner. I tell you, this one went down to his house justified rather than the other, because everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. So which one understood the gospel? And so where we're going here, and as we talk about some practical ways that we can speak the gospel to ourselves, the foundation of that is understanding that our broken state without God forgets all the time. This Pharisee had forgotten who he was, who God is, and what God's purpose was for him. The Pharisee had forgotten to be in awe of an all-powerful, holy God. And he had forgotten to be in awe that he is so broken, so wretched, so sinful, that only an amazing sacrifice, an amazing act of grace could bridge that gap. He had forgotten. Now we'll go to this. So this picture is a few miles down the road from our house in San Diego, San Pasqual Valley. If there's any history buffs here, there was actually in the Mexican-American War, there was a battle here called the Battle of Mule Hill. San Juan Hill was in Mexico. There was a Battle of Mule Hill where Kit Carson had to run on foot down to the fort in San Diego, get reinforcements, and they pushed Santa Ana back into Mexico. Now, this is back in the 1800s. And so we have this beautiful scene, right? And I'll ask this question. Who's been to California? Most of you. Okay. So we had visited there before we moved. We had visited many times. And then as we've moved and as we've lived there, my background is in the car business. And I have somewhat of a sales personality. And so I had without even trying, I had convinced our whole family that two things in California are really awesome. One is great views, and the other is In-N-Out Burger. And that usually generates some either love or hate from people, In-N-Out Burger. But and so as we go out in the winter, the summer we go to the beach for family stuff, the winter we go to the mountains and the desert, and as we go in the winter to areas like this, and we would take the Jeep out, take, you know, with church friends, or we'd go do a hike somewhere, and I would always sell the views are the best part. I mean, kids, you got to realize, like, this is somewhat new to us. You know, I didn't see a mountain until I was 15. This is awesome. We go up to the top of the mountain, and it's just beautiful. About 2 months ago, our kids are all teenagers, two boys, 15 and 16, twin girls are 13. We were getting ready to go on a hike somewhere, and one of the girls said, "Dad, you can stop selling us on views, because we don't really care about that." And at first, you know, selfishly, I'm just like, "Oh man, Mike, you really have been blind." But then I thought spiritually, how easy it is for something that's familiar to be forgotten. And how important it is for us to be useful vessels in service for God, in discipleship, and in sharing the gospel. We have to constantly remind ourselves that it's really, really, really easy to forget. Talk about the Church of Ephesus for a few minutes. Paul planted this church in the second missionary journey. And then his third missionary journey, he actually spent 2 or 3 years there, teaching, discipling, helping lead the church. You read in Acts 20, you can see the love that was shared between Paul and that church family as he was leaving, and they got together and they were just weeping and crying and praying together, and it was a sad goodbye. And you could see that it was just this beautiful, close-knit group that was busy in gospel understanding, in service to others. It was a diverse group from different nationalities brought together as one body. Timothy led there. And in Ephesians 2, Paul, it was a great encouragement to that church to keep doing what they were doing and to remember why they're doing it. And he said this: "You, Ephesus, were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you had previously walked, according to the ways of this world, according to the ruler who exercises authority over the lower heavens, the spirit now working in the disobedient. We too all previously lived among them in our fleshly desires, carrying out the inclinations of our flesh and thoughts, and were by nature the children of wrath, as others were also." And then he says, "Remember but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love, that he has for us made us alive with the Messiah, even though we were dead in trespasses." He said, "You are saved by grace. Together with Christ, he also raised us up and seated us in the heavens, so that in the coming age he might display the immeasurable riches of his grace through his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For you are saved by grace through faith. This is not from yourselves. It is God's gift. Not from works, so that anybody can boast. For we are his creation, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared ahead of time so that we should walk in them." So we see this beautiful, well laid out proclamation of the gospel message and why Ephesus was doing what they were doing. All these great things. Great church, multi-ethnic church, serving Christ, serving others, growing in discipleship together. A few years later, we start to see some cracks in the armor. And Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy, he said, might want to address some drifting going on at Ephesus. There are some concerns there. And then 30 or 40 years later, we really see what happened with the church at Ephesus. And we really see again how easy it is to forget the gospel. John was banished to the island of Patmos, and Jesus gave a message to the church at Ephesus through him, and a reminder to us today. Christ said, "Write to the church of Ephesus, the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand and who walks among the seven golden lampstands, says, I know your works, your labor, your endurance, and that you cannot tolerate evil." And as we read all this, we say, yes, yes, yes. Your works, your labor, your endurance. You don't tolerate evil. You've tested those that call themselves apostles and are not. Yes. You found them to be liars. You possess endurance and have tolerated many things because of my name. Yes. And you have not grown weary. Yes. We say, yes, yes, this is awesome. But then we have this challenge. Christ says, but I have this against you. You have abandoned the love that you had at first. You have abandoned the love that you had at first. I'm going to go back to this slide here. You see, the church at Ephesus had done the same thing that this Pharisee had done. He had forgotten who God is, who they are without Him, their identity with Him, and what His plan was. They had forgotten the gospel. What are the first works that this tax collector possessed and that this Pharisee did not possess? What is that first love? That's the foundation for everything in discipleship. What's it mean to repent and to remember and to repeat?
Hey, Mike.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Could you back up one?
Yes.
I don't mean to interrupt.
No, it's great. Please do.
But I read once that when you read the Bible, you always want to pay special attention to what comes after the but.
Yes.
And
that's exactly right.
That's where it usually gets to the nitty-gritty.
It does. You're exactly right. Yep, because right here we say, but I have this against you. And then if we back up to Ephesians, and we see this depraved, sinful state that we are in, and we see but God.
Yeah.
Thanks for that. Foundation for discipleship and for sharing the gospel starts with sharing the gospel to ourselves. And sharing the gospel to ourselves starts with acknowledging that it's easy to forget. And to go even deeper, it starts with acknowledging that we do forget a lot. And to repent and to remember and to repeat is foundational for our effectiveness in God's kingdom. So what are some practical tools here? Romans 8:15 says, "For you did not receive a spirit of bondage or slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption by which we cry, Abba, Father." So what are some practical ways that we can speak the gospel to ourselves. And we already said, speaking the gospel to others, it absolutely starts with reminding ourselves over and over and over the gospel message. And the heart of that includes forgiveness. One of my close friends years ago, he made the comment in a talk. He said, you know, forgiveness is really hard. It's so not natural. He said, it's something that I have learned I absolutely can't do. And so how often we say, I need to forgive, I need to forgive. And he said, I just need to rest in the fact that the only way I can forgive is through Christ's power in me. And he said, I have learned that the hardest person to forgive in my life is myself. Speaking the gospel is scary and vulnerable, even when speaking to ourselves. I'll put Darren on the spot here for a minute. He was part of a Harvest Call roundtable last week on engaging in ambassadorship in the community, and there's a few people that were kind of giving their testimony on how they share the gospel. And Darren, one of my favorite quotes from you was, how long have you engaged on the ISU campus and in Bloomington in evangelism? Many years.
Yeah.
Many years. And you made the comment, I won't get it exactly right, but basically you said, every single time, it's scary. And so often, we want to wait to step out in faith until we feel comfortable or until we think that we're going to be at this place of where we don't feel scared or vulnerable. And part of speaking the gospel to ourselves is resting in the fact that it's scary and it's vulnerable, even when we speak it to ourselves. So how is speaking the gospel to ourselves scary? When I remind myself of how lost I truly am, of how sinful I truly am, of how broken I truly am without God, it takes all the things that I think I have to offer and it washes it all away. And from a human perspective, it's hard to rest in the fact that I am completely helpless without this great and almighty God loving me with a level of grace that is beyond anything I can comprehend. Speaking the gospel is scary and vulnerable, even when we're speaking to ourselves. Here's another one. Satan is consistently trying to rob us of our understanding of the gospel and our awe of God. Constantly. He's there. He's trying to steal and to kill and to destroy. And when there's times where we forget the gospel, maybe someone got credit for a good thing that I was a part of. And I have resentment about that. That starts to well up. Somebody else got credit for something good. It wasn't me. I forgot the gospel. When somebody says something hard or hurtful to me that may or may not be true, and I have bitterness about that, I'm struggling, I forget the gospel. When something goes well in my life and I give credit to myself, I'm robbed of the gospel. And many times we can again make it about Mike. Make it about each of us as individuals and resting in the fact that Satan is the enemy here. And that when we recognize these places that, yes, Lord, we forget, repent, and remember, and repeat, and we say, Lord, you take this, and you change me in this, and you remind me of your awe, and it places the power where it belongs, through Jesus. It is really, really easy to assume that we understand it. The Pharisee did. The church at Ephesus did. They thought they understood it all. But Christ challenges us all that on your own, Mike, your bent is that you will forget. And don't assume that you really understand it. And many times, those chances for us to really see where we are through tests. We were having an internal conversation recently with some of the Harvest Call team on when there are those moments, it's easy to say that, yeah, by God's grace, I won't be hurt when somebody gets the credit for something that I was a part of. But until it really happens, that's where the test is, and that's where the chance is for us to really see and for us to have that inner wrestle of, where do I really stand, Lord? It's easy to assume that we do, that we get it. So here's another one that's really can be helpful for us to speak the gospel to ourselves. Being aware and learning of other cultural worldviews and gospel application. Because we all have a culture that we have come from. We all have experiences that have shaped how we think, how we view God. You know, you go into theology and you could argue that most of Western society can view salvation in a guilt, from more of a guilt perspective. Most of Eastern societies can view our brokenness from a shame perspective. And when we can see testimonies of Christians from varied backgrounds, from other religions that come to Christ, and see the differences in how Christ brings people to himself, and yet it's all the same, it's awesome. And it helps us when we are aware and we learn of other cultural worldviews and how Christ has worked through that. It helps us get rid of our assumptions. It helps us take off our American hat. It helps us take off our apostolic Christian hat. It helps us take off our Caucasian hat or our Hispanic hat or whatever, wherever we're from. When we learn those, when we learn testimonies on how God has worked throughout the world. And then growing in understanding of adoption and entitlement. I've always been a Steve Jobs fan, and I remember reading a book of his years ago. He started Apple. He grew the company that Pixar, that Disney now owns, called Pixar. He made that what it was, and just did a lot of really cool things with music and film and technology. But he said, "My life completely changed when I realized for the very first time that my parents adopted me." He said, they physically adopted me. They chose me by name to be part of their family. He said, that was a game changer for my life. And so much more from a spiritual perspective. No matter what our culture, no matter what our worldview, no matter how much, as that Pharisee, how much we've been immersed from our background in understanding the gospel message, we are all lost, all broken, all orphans, and yet in Christ, we are chosen by name. What a standing, what a comfort. And what a way to speak the gospel to ourselves over and over and over. The opposite of that is entitlement. Oh, our kids aren't here. I'm throwing them under the bus constantly. Sorry, kids. So, living in California for a few years, and I'll throw myself under the bus here too, and maybe Em too. If we don't get an Amazon package in one day, we're pretty upset. Like, seriously mad. Like, this was supposed to be here at 2 o'clock, and it didn't get here until 8 o'clock. In living in a city in Southern California, very close to the Amazon warehouse, we're entitled. In our Western American society, we could talk for hours on the things that we have that we don't even realize how much of a benefit and gift that they are, and we want more. Or we make it about ourselves. That I have these things because of me. And again, back to the heart of the Pharisee, forgetting the gospel, is it so easy for us to make life about ourselves. Praying the gospel. Who else had a habit of praying scripture? You ever done that? It's powerful. I think of the all the psalms that David wrote, and how many of those psalms are conversations with God, and how beautiful that is. So we're going to exercise that here together. We're going to go back to Ephesians 2 with the knowledge and the reminder that it is so easy to forget the gospel. With the reminder that we have to remind ourselves and speak the gospel to ourselves over and over and over. When we're hurt, when things are going well, when life happens, when the wheels fall off of the bus. So we're going to pray this together. And we're going to insert, we're going to make this first person here between ourselves and God, okay? Lord God, I acknowledge I am dead in my trespasses and sins. I am dead, Lord, without you. Where I walked according to the ways of this world, according to the ruler who exercises authority over the lower heavens, the spirit now working in the disobedient. Lord, I understand that previously I lived among them in my fleshly desire, carrying out the inclinations of my flesh and thoughts. And by nature, Lord, I'm a child of wrath, as others also. There is no hope for me, Lord. I am broken. I am sinful. I am rebellious without you. But Lord, I understand that you are rich in mercy because your love that you have had for me have made me alive with the Messiah, even though I was dead in trespasses. You, Lord, you have saved me by grace. Together with Jesus Christ, you have raised me up and seated me in the heavens so that in the coming ages he might display the immeasurable riches of your grace through your kindness to me through Jesus. Lord, I understand that as I realize how broken and wretched I am without you, and that you have made this great plan, you have saved me by grace. It's through faith that you have saved me. And that it is not of myself. It's your gift, Lord. It's not from my works, lest any of us can boast. Lord, I understand, and I need reminded that I am your creation. Lord, I need reminded and help me to understand you have created me in Christ Jesus for good works, which you have prepared ahead of time so that we should walk in them. God wants us to confess to him. He wants to hear us say what he already knows. Lord, I am broken in trespasses and sins without you. He wants us to confess to him that but God, who is rich in mercy, has made us alive. He wants us to confess to him that we are saved by grace through faith alone. And he wants us to confess to him that in that process, we have a purpose, created unto good works, which God has prepared ahead of time so that we should walk in them. And as we continue to talk throughout the day of growing in discipleship and the application of what this means to be created in Christ Jesus for good works and to really have our identity settled in the working and the grace of Jesus Christ, think of the book of Hebrews. In the book of Hebrews, it's a beautiful book showing how so much of the Old Testament system that God had given to the children of Israel was to point to Jesus. And specifically the sacrificial system for the priests to sacrifice on behalf of the people. And every year, the climax of that was Yom Kippur, where the high priest would enter the Holy of Holies and offer sacrifice. And they explain all of that. We don't have time to deep dive into it. But then the writer says, at the end of Hebrews, he says, so now what do we sacrifice in this Christ age? So God used lambs. He used doves. He used physical things with the Jewish nation to point to now. So what's our sacrifice? What do we lay on the altar as a believer? And he says, we offer the sacrifice of praise with thanksgiving. The Pharisee forgot the gospel message. The church at Ephesus forgot the gospel message. On our own, we will absolutely forget the gospel message. But when we pray and acknowledge, Lord, I repent. Lord, I remember who you are, who I am, what you've done for me. And we repeat that over and over and over. We are a vessel. I'll go back again to our perfecting love, the theme of dwelling in God. Dwelling and resting in God acknowledges the gospel message over and over and over again. Thanks.